to Tuesday morning. Evan Bray, great to have you here. Are we over the Jays thing yet? Can we say we're feeling a bit better this morning? I came into work today and I'm thinking, you know what? Today will be a different day. Yesterday, of course, everybody you bumped into was about the Jays. Well, I feel like I've had a few Jays conversations still this morning. I don't know if you caught Buck Martinez. He was great yesterday on the Green Zone with Jamie and Locker. You can always catch that by going back to the replays through the websites. But I thought Buck had a good outlook on things, basically saying, you know what, for many people at the start of the season, the Jays did better than they expected. Obviously, we were heartbroken, but we have lots to be proud of, essentially was the message there. Well, there's lots going on today. Federal budget being presented this afternoon. What will it contain? Spending cuts, deficit growth, projects prioritized. We're going to kick off our show with this topic and Vashi Capellos shortly. Also on the program today, 9 o'clock, we'll open up phone lines. I want to hear what you want to hear out of the budget, not what you think you're going to hear, what you want to hear. What should be prioritized for you, in your opinion, for Canadians? We'll open phone lines, text lines for that just after 9 o'clock. Also, on the budget topic, great guests like Ian Lee, who you have heard on this program a number of times, Carleton University Business Associate Professor, who, of course, takes a very strong stance on things like supply management, saying it's time we ditch supply management in Canada. We'll talk to him about what we're likely to hear in the budget. Fred DeLory will stop by. You know Fred as a former national campaign manager for the Conservative Party of Canada. He did a lot of work for Stephen Harper, has done work for Doug Ford. So we'll get his take on where things are at and what the Conservative strategy will be to show what a path forward under a Conservative government heading into the next election might look like. When will that election be? Is this budget going to trigger election? I'm still doubtful, but there is the possibility. We'll talk a little bit more about that as well. Also in the show today, we're going to talk social mobility. So this is actually a topic kind of related to the budget because it has to do with how likely one generation is to achieve movement on the social ladder over previous generations. So will our kids do better than we? Is life more affordable for our children, for our grandchildren? This is something where when the rubber hits the road, the decisions made by the federal government, whether it's got to do with taxation or spending or debt or whatever, have an impact on generations. So we've got an expert coming in to talk about that. I really look forward to hearing from you. We will open up the phone and text lines there again. All right, let's get going. Here is today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show. The Big Talker.
Well, as I mentioned, lots of talk today about budget. Prime Minister Mark Carney and his government will present their first budget. It was hard to believe that it was about this time last year that we were hearing Justin Trudeau planning to step down, launch us into an election. It's been a chaotic year, to say the least. Now, fast forward, we've got a new prime minister, the first federal budget coming down. Will this split of the operations and capital budget make a difference? Lots of people are watching this. We're hearing things like this is going to be a transitional and a generational budget. But what does that mean? Well, my first guest will help us weed through this. Vashi Capellos, chief parliamentary correspondent for CTV, host of Power Play, host of Question Period. And of course, you can hear her on the Vashi Capellos show that you can hear on this radio station Saturdays at 1 o'clock. I'm very happy to have Vashi join us this morning. Vashi, thanks so much for taking the call.
Hi, Evan. It's great to be back with you.
So this budget today, is it just me or does it feel like there's a lot of eyes on this budget, more so than in recent history, I would say?
Yeah, I think you're totally right. And for a couple of reasons. First, it's been a really long time since, you know, early in last year, since we've actually seen a budget. So this is the first real kind of guiding plan for a government that we've had in a really long time. So I think just by virtue of that, we're all paying attention. But we're also paying attention because this is kind of the first proof point for Mark Carney's government, right? He has said he's going to do big things, and he's really been fixated on the economy. I think that's a huge part of why he won the election, sort of offering himself as the person best suited to guide the economy through the trade war with the United States and just sort of in general. And so this is a proof point of that. So I think Canadians are really, you know, anxious to see exactly what plans he has in store to match or not match the rhetoric that he has certainly employed.
There's going to be a few storylines that will come out of this budget. One of them, given the fact that we know the deficit is likely to exceed some of the projections, is this budget going to be touted as this is the cost of sovereignty in 2025?
It's so funny that you say that, because I was speaking to someone, actually two people who were working on the budget a few weeks ago, who said, expect to hear the term the price of sovereignty. So you maybe you were speaking to the same
because
that is sort of, I think, what they're going to say to justify the spending side of the ledger. And I'll be watching really closely, right? Because there have been other instances where you saw big numbers on that side of things, right? The spending side of things over the last 10 years. And sometimes there were very justifiable reasons for it in COVID, and other times less so, right? So it's up to people like me and others scrutinizing to really drill down into like, okay, just because they say this is an investment and it's going to create a return on investment, will it actually, how much of this is you know, redistribution, income redistribution, that kind of thing, or is it really geared at, you know, spurring investment in a different way than we've been told would happen over the last 10 years. So I'm very closely looking at that. But that level of spending is going to be interesting as well, right? The price of sovereignty don't come cheap is what I'm guessing is going to kind of be what's telegraphed through this budget. But the deficit, if it exceeds, let's say, $70 or $80 billion, we're heading into $90 billion territory. Well, that becomes very consequential.
Vashi Kapelos is my guest, host of the Vashi Kapelos Show, which you hear on this station Saturdays from 1 to 3. You know, I saw the recent poll that was done in Canada where it showed the majority of Canadians are really wanting to see a budget that digs into, in a substantial way, cost of living. Is it possible? Because we know that this budget will work towards strengthening the economy. We have already heard lots of foreshadowing of that. The strengthening of the economy, does that lead to a lower cost of living? And if so, how quick is that turnaround?
Yeah, nothing is going to be quick would be my first sort of guess, I think. As a non, you know, I'm not an economist, but I definitely study enough of this stuff for to ask questions. And I don't see anything that they could put forward that would be a quick fix. I think one of the issues that the Canadian economy has more largely that has impacted the inability of our wages to keep up with inflation is the issue of productivity. So my guess is there will be measures in this budget aimed at increasing productivity. But translating that to you and I at home who have to buy, you know, $8 berries every week, and how soon that's going to be $6 berries, or how soon our wages will increase so that $8 berries don't seem as expensive as they have or as they do, I think is a harder job. Like, it's much harder to do. A, it takes a really long time, but B, like, how do they even communicate that? You know, we always often hear how Mark Carney is like a technocrat. The prime minister is a technocrat. Often he comes across that way. So I'm very curious to see the way in which they attempt to thread the needle in that vein. And conversely, you're going to see the conservatives go very hard on the size of the deficit and link it very directly to cost of living, right? Essentially arguing that, in fact, instead of lowering your cost of living, the government, by increasing the debt load and increasing the size of the deficit, is doing the opposite. And there's, you know, some economic argument behind that, but it's not the whole picture. So each side will really have an interesting kind of communications job around centralizing this budget on like what matters to you and I and people listening, which is how expensive our life feels. And I think, you know, in particular, the government will have a big challenge there.
So you just brought up debt and deficit. Let's talk fiscal discipline for a second. I'm curious. I saw the C.D. Howe report recently that gave this government a D on fiscal responsibility. Are Canadian citizens more likely this time around to give the government a pass when it comes to that deficit number because of the complicated things that are happening on the geopolitical scale?
That's a really good question. I'm not sure yet. I think that there is an appetite for the government to show restraint. But at the same time, the government is going to try to sell that message that we just talked about, the idea that like it's going to cost to pay for our sovereignty and kind of to reform our economy. So where Canadians fall in that mix, I'm not 100% sure. Traditionally, it seems, particularly over the last 10 years, voters didn't necessarily punish the government, in this case, the Trudeau government, for running deficits. I'm not sure whether it's still going to be that way, particularly if the size of the deficit does increase substantially. At the same time, I'm very curious to see what Mark Carney means when he, for example, a few months ago characterized the budget as one of austerity. Like, what kind of fiscal discipline will they show in the area that they have said they're going to cut, which is on spending on the operations of government? Are we talking a substantial cut in the public service? Last week, the finance minister said that the last time the public service had been sustainable was prior to the pandemic, which is like 80,000 fewer people. Are they going to literally eliminate 80,000 jobs? That would be a shocking development, I think, and one that we have not really been accustomed to, particularly again over the last 10 or 12 years. So how that shakes out is a real point of scrutiny for me. Like, what does austerity actually mean? And how do they, like, what does it mean for programs, all that kind of stuff?
So Vashi Kapelos is my guest. Let's just talk about, we know every year when the budget comes up, there's a week or two that precedes the budget that is about tone setting. And we've seen some of that. In fact, we saw Mark Carney on a national address in front of some university students here in the recent last couple of weeks. Can you talk about what you're seeing from your seat right outside those buildings in Ottawa? What type of tone is government trying to set heading into the budget?
Well, they're not trying to lower expectations, which is traditionally not the most political thing to do, right? Normally, politicians keep expectations low so that they have a chance to outperform them. And I think it's fair to say, rightly or wrongly, the prime minister has set the expectations for this budget and other things under his tenure very high. And I am very curious to see what that means. So will they be able to, will the content of the budget match the tone that you reference, which is this is basically the budget of a generation, the budget of a lifetime? That is the landing point that they arrived at when it comes to messaging around this budget. They keep using the term, for example, generational investment. So it's a lot less about austerity than it was 2 months ago, or responsibility or restraint. And it's a lot more about, like, budget of a lifetime. I don't actually know what that means. Like, I'm being totally frank with you. I hear them say it. I hear the finance minister repeat it about 700 times a day. And I'm not really sure exactly what it means, because, again, it really heightens the expectations around the budget that, like, we're going to solve this trade war, reform our economy, and make your life better with this one document. I've never seen a budget that actually accomplishes that. So how they're able to do that, or attempt to do that, I think, like, you know, again, really, they really have their challenge cut out for them.
Vashi Kapelos is my guest. Only a couple minutes left. I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on anything that might be noticeably absent from today's budget, anything that you're thinking they are going to specifically, maybe strategically, not focus on.
Oh, that's a really good question. I'm very curious to see what happens with certain programs that were set to expand. So things in Indigenous services, in pharmacare, even in dental care to a certain degree. The one hint that the Prime Minister has dropped, and this is really like, you know, searching for clams or something, because I'm listening to every word trying to parse it out. The one hint that he's dropped about what restraint might look like is during, I think, the day after he delivered that speech, he basically said, you know, there might be programs that we wanted to expand or wanted to accelerate that we just won't be able to at the speed with which we thought. So I'm curious to see, like, does that mean, like, no more pharmacare deals or no more expansion of pharmacare? Does it mean icing the expansion of dental care that was planned, all that kind of stuff? So I'm very curious to see if that's there. And then the other thing is, like, what do they do to try and win the support of the opposition parties? I think they've decided the NDP are their likeliest supporter. So what do they back off of when it comes to, for example, cuts in order to satisfy the NDP and pass this budget and avoid an election? That'll be a big thing to look for, too.
So that's perfect lead into my last question is, what are you hearing in terms of this budget actually passing?
So I got to tell you, 10 days ago, I would have said, no way, it's going to. Right now, I'm like, it's anybody's guess. It is a weird time right now in Ottawa, where every person you call of decision-making authority in the opposition parties basically can't tell you exactly what they're going to do after this budget is introduced. And I think that provides the opportunity for, in a minority situation, basically the idea that anything can happen. I don't think anybody really thinks they're ready to go to an election or want to go to an election. No Canadian wants them to go to an election right now, but stranger things have happened, and this could be a strange thing.
CTV Chief Parliamentary Correspondent Vashi Kapelos. Vashi, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure, Evan. Thank you so much.
It's going to be very interesting to watch this budget unfold today. We've got lots more great discussion on this, including hearing from you coming up. Open lines right around the corner here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.